Heavenly Father, we thank you. What a joy to know that you are my Father. What a joy to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a joy to know that my hope is beyond this earth. What a joy, what a joy, what a joy to love you. It's a privilege to be your fellow co-laborers. Thank you for making me one. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has washed us from our sins. Thank you because we stand upright before your presence. Without fear, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a privilege to know you. Thank you, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you because you depend on me, oh God, on this earth to do great things for you. Thank you because I am a co-laborer with you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, my Father. Oh, as we share your word today, open our eyes. Open our eyes, oh God. Let the spirit of revelation, oh, the spirit of wisdom and revelation be made available tonight. And let your word prosper in our hearts today. Thank you, Father. We ask that as we speak your word today, you will grant utterance. Do what only you can do, my Father, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Honestly, when I think about the beauty of being in Christ, I wish many people knew that this was a flex. I walk into certain rooms and I see Christians ashamed to say they are Christians, because it would look like you don't know, or it would look like you don't know what's up, or it would look like you are too fanatical. But I'm someone who is very observant. We're on a training yesterday, throughout this week actually, in my workplace. And yesterday afternoon, I went out to do something. And I looked from, it's I think a two-story building or something. I looked upstairs, I looked from up, and I saw our cousins, about five of them. Corporate guys looking very sharp. In the middle of the afternoon, very hot afternoon, these guys spread their mats with confidence. That is before everybody. Off their corporate shoes, before the whole assembly, everybody was watching. I was upstairs watching. They sat down, brought out their kettles, and washed. In fact, I watched one. He didn't even remove his socks. He just took water and washed. I don't know how he did it. And five of them, one of them was in front, stood confidently, hit their head on the floor, stood up again. I was like, what is happening here? These guys didn't know they were in a corporate environment. I don't know the things that worry you or the things that make you feel very pained. And I began to ask myself, can I tell Christians that once it's 1:30, we should tell the lecturer that I want to go and pray, and we'll do it confidently? These guys did this thing like it was in vogue. They didn't care what anybody thought. I had a colleague those days in my office when I, those days back about 10 years ago, this young lady, beautiful young lady, she was in customer service. That was the period when they were having their fast. One of those days, I was just, I don't know what took me upstairs. One of those floors not being used. I was just passing and I saw this beautiful, pretty young lady. One of our cousins. confidently spread her mat there and was doing those things again. And you tell a young student who is in Lasso to preach the gospel, and she will tell you, sir, they will laugh at me. You tell a Christian to stand for Jesus in his workplace and declare, I'm a Christian, when it matters most. And he will tell you, this is a corporate environment. I have done things with some of them as well from the north. On a Friday, you are bound to consummate a business worth millions. And what I still saw this thing last month. Once it is that prayer time, sir, with all due respect, with all the transactions hanging, you just behind them, excuse me, I'm coming. He said, no, I didn't go pray. And he lives unapologetically, sir. And we tell you to share Jesus around you with what you have received. And I see my brothers and I see my sisters. Pastor, you know, let's apply wisdom in these things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we are told, if you don't bow to this God, you'll be thrown into the fire. And I was imagining that it was today. I was just thinking about the average Christian. What are we going to say? They will say, Pastor, we know, but let's face reality, sir. Let's be reasonable. We will always say, let's apply wisdom to these things, Pastor. And I read the Pauline write-ups. I read the many of you that love Paul so much. I'm loving Paul the more. Go and study 2 Timothy, the whole of 2 Timothy. I see Paul. I don't even know. He was so excited about his chains for the gospel. And honestly, what came to mind is it the same heaven that this Paul is going to, that I'm going to? Paul is writing things like, as a true soldier of Christ, endure suffering and endure hardship. And I'm asking myself, these messages have been lost in the church today. When you preach this, they will tell you, no, this message, if you preach this kind of thing, young people will not like it. And I'm asking myself, was it this kind of Christianity that Pastor Deboye handed over to some of us? We're in a meeting one of those days, and a young man who was very close to Daddy, you know, one of the pastors came to speak to us. And he said, they told him, Daddy, the youths are ready to take over. When will they be handing over? And he laughed. He said, with our old school way, I'm not so correct now, but that's the mindset I got, the perception of what he said. With our old ways of doing Christianity or church, we are able to plant the RCCG in over 190 nations. Asked him, are you sure you guys are really ready? This month is a month of explosive growth drive in the church. And it will afford us the opportunity to really reflect. And by God's grace, throughout this month, every Wednesday, I want to take this myself. I want to pour out my heart. Many of us are not here for what we will gain. In fact, I have not seen yet the things that they say people are gaining, or what people chase some things for. I'm here to see. Some of us did not get here because we wanted to. I think what God looked at to bring us here is the heart. There is a heart for God that I know God gave me. There's anybody that will know you better? I think your wife should know you better than any other person. There is a passion that I carry in my heart, that I'm trusting the Lord that in this month we'll be able to pass on to everyone around here. Guys, I'm going to try to get a video. I need to play a video here so that you will see the state of the church in the U.S. There is a video I saw in one conference I followed that I think I need to look for to play to us, play for us here. So that you will know why some of us cannot sleep at night. So that you will understand why you need to wait on God. It is not for needs. There are things higher than needs in the hearts of men. And yet I'm asking the Lord every night, give me burden, Lord. Give me a burden for your house again. Give me a burden for your house. I was listening to Dr. Paul Enenche one of those days. He said he didn't know he would graduate from university. Why? The burden was so intense that usually what happens in their days, some people will just say they can't wait any longer. They run out of school. He said when he graduated, the parents said, I don't think you graduated. He said, I graduated. Finally, I graduated. Why? The burden was so intense. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Today's topic is called God Expects Greater Harvest. God expects greater harvest. Matthew chapter 25 from verse 14 to 30. I want us to do a short Bible study there. I usually do not prefer to read manuals. I like to do expositions. And I think Wednesdays are days I'm going to be using to teach in this church. I need to settle down on Wednesdays to really teach so that we'll do some level of discipleship, guys. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven, please, who is speaking here? Who knows who is talking here? If you have a red letter Bible, you notice I brought my hard copy Bible. You will notice, even though these days I know it's becoming extinct, you will notice it's written on red letters, right? So what it means is that the person talking here is Jesus. Every time you read the Bible and you see that Jesus is talking, let me warn you and let me advise you, take that thing he's saying very, very seriously. I repeat, every time you see that Jesus is speaking in scriptures, don't take it for granted. If you are playing with every other thing, please don't play with the words of our master. I took time last month, if I'm not mistaken, yes, to dwell on the matter of the church. If you recall, I told you that the church is the center, or Jesus is the centerpiece of the church. If you remove Jesus, what you have is nothing or cannot be the church. So if we understand that Jesus is the center of the church, it means that we must take his words very seriously. If you have that in mind, let's go to verse 14 of Matthew 25. Thank you, media, for helping me. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15. Follow the story. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man, underline this word, to every man according to his several ability. That means everything he gave them was according to their ability, because he created them. He knows what they can handle. He knows the things they can do. And so everyone was given according to the way the maker has factored things. He has factored into your destiny that you require, he has given you. So you didn't come empty. You didn't want to preach to someone and say, neighbor, you didn't come empty. Speak to another person, neighbor, you are not empty. Look up. Even if you were, in quotes, born by mistake, that is in your mother and your father's mindset. As far as God is concerned, no one was delivered to this earth empty. So that's the first thing I want you to notice, because here he says, to every man according to his ability. And when he did that, he straightway took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He that received 5 talents went and traded. Underline the word traded. Maybe we'll discuss this in our business class, Tribe Nation, Tribe Business Summit. We'll discuss this, but let me leave it. But understand that these things they were given were resources, and it meant a lot of things. But today, I want to focus on the matter of souls. He traded and brought 5 more. Verse 17, please. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also by trading gained other 2. Verse 18. Notice something. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He did not throw away his 1. He digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He kept it somewhere safe so that he can preserve it as it was given to him. Sir, if it was in today's world, we would say this guy, he's risk averse, right? He didn't do anything bad. He only hid it to keep it so that when the master comes, he will make sure it is well preserved and given to him. Continue. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. I want to remind you, everyone, just in case you've forgotten, the Lord of the church must return. Listen, there is an urgency in my heart. I am trusting the Lord to put that same urgency in everyone's heart. We don't have time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That reckoning there talks about accounting. He calls them to come and give accounting, come and give account of how you use the resources you are given. Let me let you know, sir. The way you are created, your voice, your height, your skin color, your hair color, everything about you is a resource you will give account of. There is someone you cannot preach to, because when he sees you, naturally he may not like you. Are you aware? But there is a place I can go into, and once I come into that place, I am immediately loved. If I am aware, if I'm well trained, I will know that my composition naturally is a resource for the kingdom. By God's grace, in my little career, I have had great access to rooms that normally I never dreamed of that I would have access to. When you get to those rooms, it's not a time to rejoice thinking that you are smart. I have always made you know this. Everything you have is a resource in the kingdom that you will give account of. Everything, your height is a resource. Don't think you are giving so that you say, who have seen this beautiful tall girl or this lovely shaped beautiful girl. There are many men who had come to church to chase women and they give their lives to Christ. Are you aware? It means it's a resource that heaven will ask you of. I pray that Michael Jackson makes it to heaven. I pray. I'm sorry, I have to use that. I hope and I pray. I really, really pray. I hope and I pray, because I imagine how that day will be. he will be shown that your voice was not given because you are very skillful. This was part of the resources you are given. As I'm talking, I want you to begin to think about the resource you have been given to. Because no one was born empty. Everyone came here with resources. Fully loaded for the master's use. After a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reconnect with them. There will be a day of reckoning, guys. Many of you live as if life will end here today. You live as if you don't get first class, something will spoil. I don't want to share with you guys I know who left school first class. Some of you come into work and your boss or someone higher than you threatens you. If you don't sleep with me, this will happen. And you do as if Jesus is not my fault. You are seeing it. If I don't do this, you know, I will lose my job. In other words, you are justifying what you must do. You behave as if there won't be a day of reckoning. I came to call your attention, guys, to the fact that whether we want to preach it in this church or not, or whether we say it or not, always remember that there will be a day of what? Reckoning. Sir, in our workplace, sir, there is something we call MPR. MPR is a day of reckoning. It means when we give you resources in the month, the average businessman knows he must call you to account. And one of these days, I will teach you the shape of the spiritual realm so that you will know that the realm of the physical is a mirror to the spiritual realm. So which means everything that happens in the realm of the spirit shapes what happens here on earth. Are you getting it? There was war in heaven. That is why there is war on earth. If there is reckoning on the earth, he should tell you immediately that there will be reckoning in heaven. As simple as I said it. So Jesus was saying, he comments and reconnect with them. Verse 20. Very interesting read. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them what? What? 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and what? I want you to see what God describes as good. I was meditating on this word and I was rethinking a lot of things. So when we say this man is a good man, I don't think that's what God is really thinking. The Lord called the one who was able to multiply, double what he was given as good and faithful. And I'm checking your life since you gave your life to Christ. I don't want to say since you joined Noah's Ark. I think it was last year or last 2 years, I told the ministers, by the end of the year, everyone will point to the souls they have discipled under me. You remember I asked them? Everybody, all the ministers, you will point to the people, say, me, 1, 2, 3, 4, I brought them to this church and I'm discipling them. They are standing by God's grace. So the big question today is, if Jesus were to walk in here physically and is able to give assessment of your life, sir, will he call you good and faithful? This thing I'm telling you is something I had to think deeply for myself. Because there are reasons why people do what they do. Some people assume he is doing it because he has money or because he knows. No. I was still discussing with my wife yesterday or something. She mentioned someone who gave some kind of money in one account. And I told her what happened is that lady knows something. There is something she knows. It's not because she has. It's because there is something she knows. Jesus says, store up your treasures. Where? Where? Above. You know why? It is on this earth. Rot. And what rust and what moth can eat it up. So when you see certain people doing certain things, they are not foolish. They understand that there is a place where you store up treasures and it won't get missing. Sir, you can stand on one day, make... We came for brothers... what's it called? Brothers meeting, right, Vijay? And we knew that it's possible to make a kind of money in the morning and by evening you've lost everything. It's just that many of us have not sat down to think about life. If you think deeply about life, you will know where to invest your money, sir. There is a place to invest that will never bring you a loss. But that's not where I'm going to. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. See, that's behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. That's the first word. You see, when people score A's, when they write exams, they score A's. You know what they will say? I scored what? I got A. I read and I got A. When anything happens, that person scores F. What does he say? They gave me what? F. Human beings are naturally like this. I want you to see yourself here so that you will know whether your picture shows here. The one who received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. It's not my fault. It's because you are a hard man, sir. He first told him, let me tell you up front that the problem we're having now is that you are a hard man. Many of you told Jesus, Jesus, the reason why I'm not winning souls is because I don't have a car yet. You know why? Jesus, you are a hard man. Why are you not winning souls? Because I live in a yard. You know, you are a hard man, Jesus. That's why. Some people said, if only I can have money to buy DSTV, I'll be watching TBN. If I watch TBN, I think I'll be able to win more souls. People have all kinds of reasons. So if I ask you, why don't you have a prayer life? I don't have a prayer life because I live with my roommates. I don't want to be disturbing my roommates. Jesus, you know you are a hard man. You are not saying it, but that is what your actions is telling him. Why have you not preached to this? It's because I don't have enough money. Why are you not doing this? Jesus, it's because... I'm not married yet. That's why. Why are you not doing this? Because I don't have a job yet. If I have a job, I'll be able to have money to now enter bus to preach the gospel. We have plenty of excuses. Reasons why we will not do the master's business. And let me be honest with you. At best, those things are called what? Excuses. At best, in the final analysis, what you have is excuses, nothing more. Oh, on Saturday evening, something came on me. I began to play these hymns. Must I go and empty-handed? I don't know if you know that hymn. I was singing it and my heart was bleeding. I was asking myself, Lord, if you show up today, what will I have said that I've done in Noah's Ark in the last 1 month? It was an urgency in my heart. You gave me a chance. I don't have excuses. There are a lot of things I can excuse. But there is an urgency in my heart. My wife knows it. Urgency. Why? Because I understand that time is fleeting. One of the advantages I think I have as a child was that I understood the value of time on time. No, by God's grace, I have that urgency in my heart. You will think it's just, no, we just started not one, we just 1 month ago. Before you know, it's not just 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And whether you like it or not, I know, maybe because of my trainings, I know that the master will ask me, Alpha, we'll give accounts. Everyone must give accounts. So he says, it's not my fault. I knew thee, and the thing I know about you, maybe others didn't know. Paul didn't know. Are you listening? Daniel did not know this thing. I'm going to tell you, Master. Joseph didn't know it, but I knew it. You are a hard man. Are you listening to what I'm saying? People say it's because you are in Nigeria. No! Paul had electricity, I want to believe. He was driving beautiful cars. I want to believe. The roads were tarred, is it not? Talk to me now, correct? Paul was driving cars, right? Paul was even flying planes, is it not? Sir, Paul was flogged for the gospel, sir. You want to know what a hard man looks like? Paul was a tent maker. I hope you know. So after making tent in the day, in the night, he will still gather the church to disciple them. Sir, Paul got into the prison. Is it possible for you to enter prison and be writing to people outside as if you are encouraging them? How does a man in prison encourage those outside who are free? Are you getting what I'm saying? I want you to see the picture well. So this guy says, you are a hard man. Sir, I don't know the things you are dealing with in your life that you are saying, Lord, if only you remove this, I will do your work. I have lived long enough to know, sir, that you are not excusable. Sir, when we give you DSTV, you will not have a prayer life again. You want me to explain it to you? You are not preaching because you don't have a car. Lord, the way this rain is beating me, like the rain fell today as I was going to walk the car, the rain was soaking me. Therefore, you are a hard man. If they give you a car, you are going to terrorize these girls around us. You're not getting what I'm saying. Some people were very faithful husbands doing well until money touched their hands. You don't know. You know, many of you think you love Jesus. So people that pray with me, I tell my wife, say, relax. These people don't love Jesus yet. I can't tell you love him. She knows. But making, I love you. I say, leave this people, shut up. You don't love him. Even Satan knows you are playing. We need to give you a husband, sir. Ma. We need to give you children. We need to make you a bank executive. We need to give you a house. We need to give you the comforts of life, sir. And we need to still watch you know whether in these comforts you can rise to do the things you need to do. You wonder why many Nigerians get to the UK. I've said it here many times and backslid. No. When they were sweating in Okoko, they thought they were on fire. Relax until we give you, come into a situation where you don't need all those things. Where there are no... Anyway, there are witches. But you may not know there are witches. You know, you don't know. Let me not enter that one. You need to come into a place of comfort. We will now test that fire you said you had. I grew from school fellowship. Oh, our hymns used to be those days. Take my life and let it be. People are crying. I'm not joking. This I'm telling you is like, how many years ago now? 2006, 2007, 2008. That's what I'm telling you.
I saw brethren kneeling down, crying, lifting, oh, Jesus, I will die for you. Just like Peter was shouting, I will die for you. Jesus said, calm down. He said, no. Even if everybody denies you, I will not. When we come out of school, the first year, some people are still trying. Second year, third year, fourth year, 5 years. Sir, it is normal with almost all the sets. People are lost. Young people, don't say you love Jesus yet. Don't be quick to jump. Relax. There are comforts that need to enter your life. If you are able to still come to church for weekly activities after those comforts, I will believe what you are saying. I will believe you when you have a wife and children and you still have time to do these things. That's when I will believe you. This thing you are saying now, even Satan doesn't take you seriously. I'm telling you, Satan knows I'll leave this one. Some of you think Satan wants to prevent you from getting money. No. There is a price on your life. We give you a comfortable job, you will lose your faith and salvation. I'm telling you. I knew thee that thou art a hard man. See what he said next. Reaping where thou hast not sown. Ah, if I enter this matter, I won't live here today. He was reaping where he did not sow. He was reaping. That is what this guy's evaluation of this question is. When he was told to come and give account, he began to explain, you are a hard man. You want to reap where he did not sow. He has evaluated his life. He went through school, but he doesn't have a job after 1 year of school. Suddenly, he forgot that even the school he went to, heaven had to supply needs for him to go to school. But he didn't calculate it well. So he found, what did you reap? What did you sow in my life? Even if he didn't go to school, he forgot that some people are amputated. Their legs don't work and their hands don't work. And yet they have to serve Jesus. Have you not seen that video of that pastor that doesn't have him? Is it not? And the guy, they bring him, I think they put him on something like this. Is it not? And he preaches. At times I wonder, sir, when this guy shows up before the cross or before the throne, what will be your excuse? Because for you, hands and legs are no advantage for you. He wants to reap where he didn't sow, in your own estimation. After all, he didn't give you a husband, so he's a hard man, is he not? He didn't give you a wife, so he's a hard man. He didn't give you a car, he's a hard man. You've been doing business in your estimation, suffering for the past 5 years. He must be a hard man. Come on. He must be a hard man. But you are not in a hospital down with cancer. We don't calculate that one. You are not kidnapped and kept in a place. No. Do you know some people came out like this evening and police picked them and they are in panty, awaiting trial? Are you aware? Many of you don't know what's happening. No. You came out, police picked you, put you inside their van. Before you knew what is happening, you are in panty. Before you knew, they've changed your clothes, telling you that you committed one crime and you're one army. He said, yes, you committed the crime. He said, how? Police slaps you, you start saying you did it. You don't know what I'm saying? You've not visited Ikoyi prisons here. We will need to take some excursion to those places so that you will see innocent people. But for you, it's nothing because he's a hard man. So why are you not multiplying souls in the kingdom? Because according to you, God has not done anything worth it. He's a hard man. He wants to reap where he didn't sow, gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid. This is another matter. I'm pointing out the things that keep us from multiplying our harvests. Fear. I was afraid. I told my wife that
God will help me. I have plans to tell my children stories. Whenever I hear Daddy Gio talking at 84, and I hear him tell stories of victory, I just tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I want to look like at 84. For many of you, everything is perfect. Everything is fine. Every day the Holy Ghost prompts you. Emeka, you can't preach, but this your friend is going to hell. Can't you tell him, my brother, follow me to church even one Sunday? No, he will think I'm fanatical. If I tell him to follow me, he will think I'm fanatical. He will think I am not, I don't know what's up. I told you we are doing a training currently. They came in to tell us in the office. They came in to tell us today, guys, they want to approve a party for us. Team bonding, of course, you know those things happen. So my team bonding, at the end of this training, they provided everything for us. The only thing the faculty said is, for those who will like alcohol, you know those beer, all those things, for those who will like it, those ones, they said we will take care of it by ourselves. Yeah? Then everybody kept quiet. In other words, if you say that beer doesn't concern me, say, hey, pastor. So you can just keep quiet because we're in a corporate environment. So they will not, you don't need to scatter the delicate balance. I spoke up. Hello, sir. What was given to us is enough. I don't take beer. When I was much younger, when I say those things, look at me. Ah! So I'm not be man now. No be man. Now woman. That is the reason why many boys began to smoke, because they were afraid. If I say I know they drink, you say I'm not a woman. Woman rapper. I know be man, but I have three children. No. I have three children. Are you born for me, Abby? I've gone past that level. Break your head if you don't like it. I don't do alcohol, sir. With all due respect, what we have is enough. But Christians who want to remain, so that they will not say. Many of our sisters are lucky. Have you seen our cousins? How they tie them inside hijab? You've not seen them. And they appear in the office with that thing, sweating. And they appear elegantly with that, these things. We only told you to talk to your neighbor about Jesus. No, you can't do that. Why? I was afraid. What will they say about me? You want to impress someone that doesn't care about you. I think the issue is that many of you need to see the revelation of hell. I think that's the issue. I had a roommate those days. He used to be the president of my fellowship. Chinedu Okezie. He may even be watching this. We'll go to read those days in management. When we go to read, he will say he wants to sleep a little. The moment Okezie lies down, he's like, Bro Victor, I said, what's the problem? I just went to hell. I said, what's the problem? He will start sharing. As he's sharing, he's crying. There are things we have seen in God that we don't need our parents, anybody to push us to preach. You are afraid to preach because you don't know the end of all men. You don't know. You don't know. Honestly, I think you don't know. I don't know why Jesus, I don't know why, I don't understand why he doesn't do it to many people. But God needs to take you one of these nights to hell. Just take you on a little tour. So when you come back and you see an unbeliever who doesn't know Jesus, with all his wealth, you will start weeping for him. I'm not joking. When you go to the office and see your colleagues who don't know Jesus, there is an urgency that will be born inside of you. You know why? Life is beyond what you see in Naira and Kobo. You need to know it. Listen, anyone who is not in Christ, what is the use if I buy a turkey or chicken and I'm training it, if I buy it now and I begin to train it and feed it in my house, feed it, what do you think is the future of that chicken by December? If you see the chicken September,
November, the chicken is moving like this. Well, you'll be saying, hey. You'll be envying the chicken. Hey, see this big chicken, though. Meanwhile, if you know his end, you will weep for that chicken. If you know his end, you will not be afraid to tell him, my brother, give your life to Christ. You are casual about this matter because you don't have a revelation about it. Part of the prayers I've been asking the Lord to do is give me tears to cry for my generation. Give me tears to cry. Give me tears, Lord, to cry. How many of you have seen rapture in a dream before or a revelation before? How many of you here, you've seen the rapture before? Any other person? Only my wife? Two, three? Which other person has seen the rapture in the revelation? Four? Five? What was the feeling, sir? Can you share? Can anybody share with me in 1 minute? What was the feeling like? Who can share with me? I want someone to share with me. Moyo, can you share? Can you share? Can you share, Jesse? Come and share, sir. 2 minutes. Just have the, what was the feeling? I want to just know the feeling of that revelation. What was the feeling like? Come and take mic now. Quickly. Take this one. Take this one. No time.
Praise God. So what I saw in, it was many years ago.
Yes.
So I saw in that my vision, they were like, what I saw was like men, but they were wearing white, like, what are they called? Air Force. So the rank that they were carrying was, the rank looked like trumpet. Like visibly, I would see that it is like trumpet. So when I woke up, I was afraid. Like, when I woke up, I thought that it has happened. So I had to come outside and, you know, just to be sure that I have not raised God.
See, you see this thing that we are laughing about? God will need to, by his mercy, show you. God will need to show you. I think if God wants to help you, he will show you just a glimpse. Either he shows you hell. For some people, he shows you heaven. For some people, he just shows you rapture. I've seen it twice. If you see that sight, it will help you value the gospel. Many of you don't, you know, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, right? For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Let me tell you why. There is a cause for shame in the gospel. It can be shameful that a young man like me, in the midst of guys, we are discussing how to drink Tombo and Shekpe. Instead of me to be saying, I go take Heineken, I go take the other one. And I said, I don't do that. They'll say, this guy, now wow, go the dollars. You are like a killjoy. But the reason why for some of us, it will not matter, is because we have seen the end of that chicken I told you of. We know how December will look like. Precisely December 23rd, we knew how it will look like. So we don't get excited in November 1 when the chicken is bugai and doing like this. We say, no, we don't get excited.
I was afraid.
I don't know what it is that is making you afraid to preach the gospel. I don't know what it is. I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, dear, thou has that is. Okay. Dear, thou has that is. Okay, that is thine. That means this is your talent. So let's see what the master said. Verse 26, please. His Lord answered and said unto him, see what his Lord called him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Why preparing for this? When I got to this point, I had to pause to think deeply. If I ask you, who is a wicked man? Please, is it possible that
in your definition, you will capture someone that hid something that he didn't touch. He preserved it. Maintenance. He did maintenance. He didn't touch it. He kept it the way it is. Can you call him wicked? Does it make sense? Talk to me. Does it make sense? But in the eyes of his Lord, in heaven, this guy was seen as wicked and slothful. What he simply did was to keep the talents. He simply went to work, saw his colleagues going to hell. He kept quiet. He says, I don't want trouble. Make me not find trouble. Everybody, do your thing. I know they like trouble. Make wait till I know me. Everybody, do your thing. But in heaven, when there was a reckoning, they called him wicked and slothful. Meanwhile, in the eyes of everybody, this guy was busy. A lot of activities, coming to church, sweating, jumping up and down, doing many things. But when there is a searchlight upon his life, heaven checks, sees men, maybe his brothers, maybe his sisters, maybe his colleagues, maybe his cousins, who he could have used the influence he had to bring to Christ. No, he wouldn't do that because he doesn't want trouble. Make everybody they do your own. And they like trouble. Heaven says it's wicked and slothful. It's something I want you to think deeply about. Think very deeply about it. And be sure that heaven is not calling you wicked. Think deeply to be sure that when heaven comes to check your relationship in your compound, when they come to check in your hostels, heaven does not call you wicked. When it comes to check how you relate with your friends, all of you are playing in, yeah, out. They are your guys. But you have never bothered. Many of you on your WhatsApp status, you can never talk about Jesus. You know why? You know why? You are a corporate person. You are a business person. You don't like trouble. Let everybody do. Some of you believe everybody should do what he likes. Do your own. Let me do my own. God, no go verse. But heaven is saying you are wicked and slothful. Thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. That means you should have put it in a bank, so that when I come, at least I will get an interest. 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that had not shall be taken away even that which he had. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of us are endued with resources from heaven. It behooves on us to make sure that we put them to use, because we will give account. God's standard is that a harvest must multiply. I want you to note this. When God gives you a harvest, he expects you to multiply it. If you don't multiply it, you are seen as wicked and slothful. Note that God is not glorified by activity without results. It's important you note it. God is not glorified by activity without results. Efforts without increase. I tell my staff, running up and down does not mean you are productive. They are two different things. You can be jumping up, jumping down. Business owners know. If you are giving a task and you sweat up and down, you are sweating, and in the end we say, did you score the goal? You say no. Many of you that watch football, you know what I'm talking about. It's a waste. Let me not mention one team that does that at times those days. Presence without productivity. You come to work every day, they are seeing you sweating in church, sweating. Presence without productivity does not glorify God. Another thing we must note is that the measure is output must match investment. Output must match investment. Many of you here know
that the things God has invested in your life, you better provide, bring fruits. There better be a commensurate fruits from your life, because you know, heaven has invested so much in your life. You know, even you know. You know what I'm talking about. He has invested so much, hoping that there will be fruit in your life. God measures harvest against what he has invested in you. For example, the grace given must equal results expected. Gifts given must equal output expected. Opportunities given, increase is expected. And finally, this is the tragedy. This is the tragedy. Underperformance in the kingdom is a tragedy. I wish you would hear this and hear this clearly. Underperformance in the kingdom is a tragedy. If man was judging, I wouldn't call this guy a wicked and slothful servant. He's not wicked. He's not wicked. He simply returned what he was given. But if God's standard is that we've given you one, we're expecting two. If you don't return two, if you return one, Oga, it's a tragedy in the kingdom. If you return one as against two when you are given one, it's a tragedy. My prayer for you tonight is that your life will not end up in a tragedy in the name of Jesus. Reflections. One, am I increasing or merely maintaining? That's the first question. Am I increasing or am I maintaining what God has given me? Two, does my output reflect God's investment in me? These are questions you should be asking yourself. The things I'm producing, is it commensurate? Is it equal to what God has invested in my life? Because you could see two people carrying the same results. God knows that I gave you more. I gave you more than I gave this other person. How am I contributing to Vision 2032 in practical terms? Which means, how many souls have I won? Forget Vision 2032. How many souls have you won? Since the beginning of this year, how many people have you brought to Christ? And finally, am I an obedient child of God? Can you close your eyes? I didn't come to entertain us. I came to raise a burden in our hearts. And I'm hoping that God has done it efficiently this night. The first place we'll start from is, if you are in this auditorium and you don't even know Jesus, this is your season, this is your time. If you're on this auditorium in here and you don't even know him, I want to pray for you first. You are the first person we should pray for, because you've not even started, so you can't even talk about what I'm discussing. You need to even come into the fold first. So all eyes closed. I won't waste time. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ, raise your right hand up and I'll pray for you immediately. If you are here and you want to give your life to Christ, raise your hands up. I want to pray for you. If you are here, raise your hands up. I want to pray for you. Even if you're online, I want to pray for you. These matters I speak of must be accounted for. You can't sit here and listen to this and not account for this message. You must give an account of what you've heard tonight. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your children. Thank you for those ones that want to give their lives to you. Lord, I'm asking and praying, oh God, that you will stretch your hand of salvation upon them. Lay your hands of mercy upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring them into your kingdom, wash them clean, and make them holy. From today, give them the power to be called your own. In the mighty name of Jesus, I will pray, oh God, and ask, oh God, that from today you uphold them. They will not fall out of faith anymore in the name of Jesus. The rising and falling ceases tonight. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want to pray for everyone here. If you are making a commitment from tonight,
to talk to anyone around you about Jesus. I want to pray for you. If you're making a fresh commitment to make sure you evangelize everyone around you, talking to them about Jesus, raise your hands. I want to pray for you. If you are here, you're making a commitment. Raise your hands up. All eyes closed, please. Raise your hands up if you are making a commitment. A fresh start. Lord Jesus, I want to begin to talk to people about you. No more shame. No more fear. Now begin to talk to the Lord. Say, Father, help me. Help me. Help me. Take away shame. Take away the fear. Take away the shame. Take away the fear. In my different spheres, in my office, at home, everywhere, to my friends, I want to begin to draw men to you. Tell him, Lord, give me the grace. Grace, Lord. Grace, Lord. Grace, Lord. Grace. Give us the grace, oh God. Give us the grace, oh God. Give us the grace, oh God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want to pray for you. Raise it up. Raise it up. Raise it up. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, your children have heard your word and they are turning a new leaf. They want to begin to go out boldly to preach your word. Every grace required, every energy required, every resource required for them to carry out this assignment and carry it out faithfully, release upon them in the name of Jesus. That which makes their mouth shut when they should open it. When your spirit prompts them, speak to this person and they shut their mouths. From tonight, we destroy such in the name of Jesus. I agree with them in their faith, so God, and I declare upon their lives. You said, how beautiful is the feet of those who carry good news. I pray for them as you live here. Your feet is beautiful. I said your feet is beautiful. Opportunities to preach, receive it in the name of Jesus. And the boldness and the power to speak the word of God without shame. Receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, and this month, you will grant every one of them souls. So that by the end of this month, they will say, indeed, we have won souls for the kingdom. Let it be so in the name of Jesus. For as many of us that have gotten to a point where we should start discipling others, release unto them the grace to do so in the name of Jesus. So that their lives can produce fruits for you. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' glorious name we have prayed.